The story is told of a pastor instructing a junior pastor how to give a sermon, and began by saying you should do something that catches the attention of your congregation. For example, the bishop is in love with a beautiful woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So duly empowered and instructed, the next Sunday, the assistant gets up to the pulpit and with great enthusiasm, he says, "The pastor told me he's in love with a married woman. I forgot her name." On this May morning, while waiting for a medical miracle, I still have to live life. And I have to experience the ordinary passing of times and events and personalities. And I tell myself, you've been around the block a few times, you've seen a lot, you've traveled a lot, but I do admit to being a bit cavalier when it comes to the things like birthdays and anniversaries and the birth of babies. It's not that I don't care, it's just that these events are, well, they're just part of life, right? Right. But in my new circumstance, my friends, I've come to realize that these moments I may have dismissed are truly miracles of everyday life. Yes, birth and aging are ordinary as they can get, but God shows up in the ordinary. And we ought to celebrate longevity of life. My mother lasted 95 years. We ought to praise God for the miracle of forming a child in just 9 months. And despite the fact that these things happen all the time around us every day, they still carry a miraculous character that captivates us, or at least should. So with my new wake-up call, I find myself watching trees bud and grass green with renewed interest. Students look younger. I'm laughing more. As if I am seeing the world with a new set of lenses focused on what? The ordinary. And I think of St. Ignatius on the River Cardener, where he experienced a profound moment of God. And in his autobiography, he writes this very simple phrase, "The eyes of his understanding were open." Quote. And at that moment, Ignatius, I believe, had an insight of God's ordinary miracles, miracles that surround us every day. And I think he was captivated by the fact that all he had learned and all he had experienced beforehand, the ordinary stuff of life, now had miraculous meaning, divine meaning. And it has been noted, and I quote again, "Ignatius now perceived everything, everything, in its proper relationship to God. Everything was no longer ordinary and plain, but it was awe-filled and miraculous because all came from God." The wow factor of life is acknowledging everyday, ordinary miracles. Now today, we gather and we reflect on two ordinary things in life that we might presume, that we might take for granted: a mother's love and God's love for each of us. On their own, they are deeply rich and they are extraordinary. And yet, are they not part of the ordinary things in life, which we might take for granted? They say that a mother's love, there's nothing like a mother's love. A mother's love for her child is just because the child is. There is no way a newborn, even those in this congregation today, there's no way that a newborn can earn the mother's love. The mother's love is absolute. Now, mothers are not perfect, of course. Mine certainly wasn't. But that's probably good because neither are we, their children, perfect, are we? But in those glimpses of true love that mothers experience, we also get a hint of God's love for us. Mothers make each of her children feel special. If she has a favorite, it is the one she is with at that time. And God also shows no partiality among us, regardless of origin or circumstance. A mother teaches a child how to walk and how to speak. A loving parent steadies the child with a steady hand and encourages those wobbly steps as they go across the living room floor. A persevering mother will repeat the sound, the word, over and over and over, and willing to listen with joy as that child's attempt to speak the right word. I think perhaps God learned patience from watching mothers. In today's gospel, Jesus points out the source of a mother's love, and indeed the source of all love, when he says, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you." God the Father begets the Son, eternally pouring out his divine love into the Son. The Son does not earn the love of his Father. The Son is the Father's love. And then the Son gives the Father's love to whom? To you, to me, to us. As Jesus says, "I love you as the Father loves me." Now, during these weeks before Ascension and Pentecost, the theme of our scriptures does echo the thought of love. And we can consider Christ's last will and testament, what we need to hear before he sends the Holy Spirit to finish the work that he began. But even on this Mother's Day, when love is sort of part of the air we breathe, the sentiments we have, we may find this message of love hard to swallow in our own day. In our own day, when love seems to be absent from most public affairs and hatred and fear so rampant in our world. But that, my friends, is precisely why we need to embrace that message of God's love so completely and try to live it. The gospel is not only countercultural, which it certainly is, but it also is counterintuitive. The dead rise, the blind see, the condemned are given a new start. That's not the world we know. That's not the world we live in. But it is the one we pray for. It is the one we want to make real. It is one we will say in a moment, "Thy kingdom come," because that is what it is all about. The great Swiss Protestant theologian Karl Barth, perhaps the greatest theologian in the 20th century, was asked once, "What was the most profound thought you ever had?" And Barth reflected, and then he says, and I quote, "The most profound thought I have ever had was that Jesus loves me. This I know from the Bible tells me so, and I have experienced it." Quote. So ordinary, so taken for granted, so profound. Think about that simple statement. Think about that simple statement in your own life. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Is there anything more profound, more insightful, more comforting? God loves you. Today's gospel represents a very important aspect of the tradition and the faith of John's early Christian community, because Jesus is calling his own followers to remain in this love, to keep the commandments, to love one another, to go bear fruit, to ask the Father anything in my name, all of this, in order that they might know joy. Joy. Joy is a hallmark of a Christian. This joy is anything but ordinary, but this joy fills the ordinary things of life. As a 14th century mystic, Julian of Norwich wrote, and I quote, "The greatest honor you can give to God is to live in joy because of the knowledge of God's love for you. If our joy gives honor to God, listen to this, then it is our duty to be joyful." Quote. So on this Mother's Day, be joyful. Be joyful as we remember our mothers, wherever they might be, and all of those who have mothered us on this journey of faith, our journey to God. Be joyful for the ordinary things in our life, and let the power of God's Word enrich our thinking, enrich our conversations. Let us reach out to others in peace and experience that joy that Jesus promised. And as Jesus reminds us, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." And finally, we are reminded by St. Ignatius that love, which fills today's scriptures, that love is expressed in deeds, not words. It must be put into action. For love consists in a mutual communication between persons, giving and receiving. As Greg Boyle reminded some of you on Thursday night, love is the extension of tenderness from one heart to another. Love is that extension of tenderness which builds community, which fosters kinship between people, even between enemies. Tenderness from one heart to another in ordinary ways. How extraordinary is God's love for us, and yet, how very ordinary.